morning, everybody. It's now the fifth Sunday in Lent, and we're still talking to each other from a distance. I do hope that this won't go on too long, but in the meantime, although I'm sad that we can't be together, it's great that we can join in this service of worship and continue, please, to pray with us in the days and weeks to come. Please also check, if you can, our Facebook page for updates and our website for recordings like this one. Let's come to God in our worship. Holy One, like Lazarus, we wait for rebirth. For the brightness of life after death, we come to worship. We follow Jesus and watch in awe for the signs of new life. Our first hymn was written by a man called Brian Wren, who was born in 1936. Wren was a Methodist, and he looked for his inspiration to the Wesley brothers. Great God, your love has called us here, as we by love for love were made. Your living likeness still we bear, though marred, dishonoured, disobeyed. We come with all our heart and mind, your call to hear, your love to find. Our first hymn, 484 in the hymn book. God now in our prayer. Let's pray. Loving Lord God, Master of the universe, King of our hearts, bless us this day in this time of worship. Bring us together in new ways. Help us to feel connected to each other and to you, although we cannot be together as we would like. Lord God, in this time, help us to praise you, to believe that you are with us, and to have the faith that you will never leave us. In Jesus' name we pray together the Lord's Prayer, using the form most familiar to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is on heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And now just a word to any of the children who are listening today. Last week we talked about rainbows, and I showed those who were able to watch the Facebook service a prism. At least one of you managed to make a lovely rainbow, and it's hanging now on my front door. You can see it again on the Facebook page. Well, we are not having an easy time, are we? We're all stuck at home with no school and no play dates, and our friends might seem very far away. The story that we're going to hear today is about Jesus and about some very dear friends of his, friends that he loved very much. And they were having a sad and a difficult time too. But even though Jesus couldn't come to them, he was still with them in his thoughts. I wonder today if I could ask you to make a list of those people you're missing just now. It might be your teacher, or your cousin, or granny, or grandpa. It might be the people you play with at school. When I was at school, I had some nice friends, but I also had some other people in my class that were mean to me. So today I want you to remember them as well, and put them on your list of the people in your life. We all have people that are mean to us at some time or another, and often we can't change that. But we also learn something from them too, even if it's just to know how not to treat others. So today, here's your homework for today and the next few days. List those people in your lives and write or draw or place something next to them that reminds us of them. I'm going to start with my brother Neil, and I'm going to put some walking boots next to his name because he loves to do that and he can't just now. You can use your list of people for prayers too, because God is always listening. Don't forget that. This next hymn Number 600 is a favourite of my granddaughter's. It's set to a traditional tune, the Sky Boat Song. The lovely words are by Margaret Old, who died in 2001. Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, gentle as is the dove, teach us the truth and help us believe. Show us the Saviour's love.
Reading comes from John chapter 11, the death of Lazarus. A man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the same Mary who massaged the Lord's feet with aromatic oils and then wiped them with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Master, the one you love so very much is sick." When Jesus got the message, he said, "This sickness is not fatal. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But oddly, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed on where he was for two more days. After the 2 days, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." They said, "Rabbi, you can't do that. The Jews are out to kill you, and you're going back." Jesus replied, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daylight doesn't stumble because there's plenty of light from the sun. Walking at night, he might very well stumble because he can't see where he's going." He said these things and then announced, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going to wake him up." The disciples said, "Master, if he's gone to sleep, he'll get a good rest and wake up feeling fine." Jesus was talking about death, while his disciples thought he was talking about taking a nap. Then Jesus became explicit. "Lazarus died, and I am glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. You're about to be given new grounds for believing. Now let's go to him." That's when Thomas, the one called the twin, said to his companions, "Come along, we might as well die with him." When Jesus finally got there, he found Lazarus already 4 days dead. Bethany was near Jerusalem, only a couple of miles away, and many of the Jews were visiting Martha and Mary, sympathizing with them over their brother. Martha heard Jesus was coming and went out to meet him. Mary remained in the house.
Let's come to God now in a prayer of confession. Let us pray. God of life, you who gifts each one of us with the breath of life, Creator God, merciful and kind, you who care for us just as we are. We travel through the cycle of this life, birth to death, But how much do we really live it? You've given us a universe at which we can marvel, a place and time about which to inquire and learn. You've blessed us with people who love us. You're with us in the joy and pain of birth and death, comforting us when we need you most. So we are sorry that we do not always acknowledge your presence in the joy or in the pain, that we do not always accept your comfort. Forgive us, Lord. We're sorry when we do not appreciate our family and friends. Forgive us, Lord. We are sorry when we count our misfortunes before we count our blessings. Forgive us, Lord, and lead us forward. Guide us in the way of Jesus. Give us strength and energy to live the lives that you would have us live. In his name. Amen. And now the second part of our reading from John. Martha said, "Master, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask God, he will give you." Jesus said, "Your brother will be raised up." Martha replied, "I know that he'll be raised up in the resurrection at the end of time." "You don't have to wait for the end," said Jesus. "I am right now, resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Master," she said. "All along I have believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who comes into the world." After saying this, she went to her sister Mary and whispered in her ear, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." The moment she heard that, she jumped up and ran out to him. Jesus had not yet entered the town, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When her sympathizing Jewish friends saw Mary run off, they followed her, thinking she was on her way to the tomb to weep there. Mary came to where Jesus was waiting and fell at his feet, saying, "Master, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her sobbing, and the Jews with her sobbing, he was deeply moved and troubled. He said, "Where did you put him?" "Master, come and see," they said. Now Jesus wept. The Jews said, "Look how deeply he loved him." Others among them said, "Well, if he loved him so much, why didn't he do something to keep him from dying? After all, he opened the eyes of a blind man." Then Jesus, deeply moved again, arrived at the tomb. It was a simple cave in the hillside with a slab of stone laid against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." The sister of the dead man, Martha, said, "Master, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus looked her in the eye. "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Then to the others, "Go ahead, take away the stone." They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, "Father, I'm grateful that you've listened to me. I know you always do listen, but on account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken so that they might believe that you sent me." Then he shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And he came out, wrapped from head to toe and with a kerchief over his face. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him loose." Here ends the lesson. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn is 595 in the hymn book. It's an early 20th century hymn written by Elizabeth Ann Head, or Bessie, as she was better known. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive your church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit your church to meet this hour. To begin by Emily Robinson on friendship. When tears fell from my eyes, you were there to brush them away. When I was lost in confusion, you were there to say that everything would be okay. When I stood before you falling apart, you were there to lend your heart. When I felt like no one could understand, you were there to take my hand. And when no one else was left to care, you were there. Friendship is really important to us all, and clearly it was to Jesus as well. But the striking message of this story we've just heard, the story of Lazarus and his sisters for me, is not that Jesus raised a dead man, it's that Jesus was not there when they needed him. The Gospel of John is full of signs, seven of them to be exact, seven signs that were designed to show that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, and there was no need to continue to wait. But this sign seems at first glance rather cruel. Jesus knew that Lazarus would die. He knew that he would raise him to show that he had the ultimate power of life and death, to show that he was the human face of Almighty God. So as a saviour, he succeeded. As a friend, he was somewhat lacking. But I wonder, did he realise how terrible those days after Lazarus' death would be for his sisters? Jesus, their friend, the one who purported to love them, waited two whole days before even setting off, 2 days after receiving the word that Lazarus was really sick. It's obvious to me that the woman really felt let down. Martha, the housekeeper, the one who was used to offering hospitality, went out to meet Jesus. The first thing she did, though, was to tell Jesus she believed in him, but also to castigate him for not being there, for not saving her brother. I think she was probably angry and upset. Mary couldn't even come out to greet him and remained inside being comforted by others. Most of us have experienced bereavement, and most of us know what it's like to feel angry and upset. Angry that God has taken from us the one we loved so much, and upset because we've lost a beloved friend or sibling or parent or child, and we will never see them again. How many people are feeling like this at this strange time we're all living through? How many have lost friends or family to this new threat to our world? How many wait for news, not able to visit or even speak to the person they love? Waiting is so difficult when someone is sick. Martha and Mary, beloved of Jesus, must have waited and expected him to come, but he didn't. They must have wondered why, and maybe they heard that he knew and yet waited 2 full days before setting off. How hurt they must have been. They had seen him cure sick people, and so they knew that he could do it. They must have felt sure that he would rush to their side and put things to rights, but he didn't. Martha was coolly angry, but Mary was unable to hide her feelings, as we know from the somewhat scandalous disregard she had for convention. The incident is mentioned at the beginning of the passage when we hear that it was this Mary who anointed Jesus' feet with oil and dried them with her hair. You know, I've read this passage many times, and I've always thought that those famous words, "Jesus wept," referred to his sadness at the death of his friend. Clearly the Jews thought that too, because they said, "See how much he loved him." So just picture the scene. Jesus is outside the town, along with his entourage. Martha and Mary know that he has waited 2 days before even setting off. But at length they both come out to greet him and express their grief, confusion and disappointment. Their master, their saviour, their miracle worker, their friend has let them down. Martha remains cool, but Mary breaks down in paroxysms of grief. Jesus weeps. And so those looking on try to comfort the sisters. "Look how upset he is," they say. "He did love him. You were not mistaken." Jesus was grieving for the women and for the days of grief and worry that they'd spent because of him. He had hurt them deeply, and I think he was devastated. He knew that he would raise Lazarus. He knew that all would be well. But maybe he didn't quite grasp that for those who are left behind, the sadness of grief is just so terrible. Yes, Jesus was divine, we know that, but he was also human, and human beings make judgment calls, and sometimes when we do things, we inadvertently hurt or upset those we love. Even if our motives are the very best, we can still hurt those we love. When we make choices between work or family, between one friend's needs or demands and another, we risk hurting someone. Sometimes we have to lie to protect others or tell the truth in love and hurt someone very deeply. That's what it's like to be human. So I think that Jesus was simply overwhelmed with the feelings of guilt and sadness at how he'd hurt his friends. Ultimately, Jesus, of course, raises Lazarus, another sign, and the most amazing of all, that he is the Messiah. He took 4 long days, at least, to come, knowing that he needed this sign to prove unequivocally that he was the Messiah. But he had to hurt his dearest friends in order to do that. So what are we left with at the end of this story? Well, we're left with some hard truths, I think, and they all point to faith. So many people lose their faith because they feel abandoned by God when something terrible happens, when they lose someone they love, when things go horribly wrong in their lives, and they believe their prayers are not answered. So how do we approach this? Well, I often think of those landscapers and builders of the past, those who built wonderful castles and planned fantastic gardens. None of these things were ever likely to be completed in their lifetimes, but they had the far-seeing eye that hopes and dreams into a future they know they will not inhabit. It's faith that keeps them going. Faith that the trees will grow, that the building will be finished, and that the building will house their loved ones. That their grandchildren and great-grandchildren will play in the woods and the gardens that they planted. All we can do is our own little bit in this world. Plant some seeds of love, begin to build a society based on love and compassion and justice for all. We may not see the results in this world, but we must have faith that the Master Builder will continue to oversee the work until it is finished and the new creation is here. Amen. May God bless these meditations on his word, and to his name alone be the glory and the praise.
Of the people are taken this morning from Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, and they quickly pass, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due to you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Father, we pray today for the many people that we know personally who are affected by the coronavirus. We praise you and thank you for the work of the hands of those who are endeavoring to resolve this problem and to help people as much as they can. Father, we ask that you remind us that in all circumstances, no matter how desperate, you are our dwelling place, where we are properly nourished, cherished, cared for, and healed. Creator, we are especially aware of the frailty and fleetingness of life. Grow in us a heart of wisdom. Redeemer, bring us out of ourselves, and from our joy, help us share and show your splendor. Rock, help us to work for our brothers and sisters in you. Yes, establish the work of our hands. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.
As you know, unless you give in some electronic way, we cannot receive your gifts at this time. Please hang on to them until we can meet again. In the meantime, we still have other types of gifts to dedicate, so let us pray. Holy One, giver of all good gifts, you have given us an abundance of life and love in our lives. We are rich beyond compare in so many ways. Receive our gifts of love this day, whatever they might be. A smile to a neighbour, a wave to someone we barely know, a phone call to a friend, a donation to a charity, a cheer and a clap for our emergency services and health carers. May they be a sign of all that they offer, and may they be used to bring your kingdom here to our earth today and always. Our concluding hymn today is number 549, and it was written by prolific and contemporary hymn writer Stuart Townend, who also composed the music especially for these words. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. And now God loves each one of you. Go in his peace. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Creator, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.